Okay, yeah, so Rooster. So Steve Carell plays the like a paperback beachside paperback writer, and he is the father of a grown daughter who, with her husband, I think husband, are both professors at this like Stanford type college, although it's, I don't think it's ever named, at least not what I saw.
Fair.
And her relationship with her husband is ending because he's cheating on her. She's a little unhinged. John McGinley, our boy from Scrubs, among other things, is the either the dean or like dean of like the English department over, head of the English department there. So he wants to bring in Steve Carell as like a like an author in residence kind of thing. And so it's like it's basically about like all that, like what happens like once he decides to take the job. I mean, it's got a great cast, and I didn't find it like bad or unlikable. I was just, it was just didn't really interest me. And the same, and it also followed DTF St. Louis, which I've
Oh,
thoroughly enjoyed.
yes,
And it
that.
feels like it has a much more, it feels like it's not the right show to pair with that, I guess.
That totally makes sense. And but yeah, the DTF is freaking awesome.
And so but I was actually asking Steve, because I had suggested the Jon Hamm show on Apple TV, Friends and Neighbors,
Oh, yeah.
which I'm really enjoying. And James Marsden is now one of the like featured cast members, new cast members for the second season. He so far in
Sick.
two episodes has done fantastic. But yeah, I really enjoy it.
That's amazing.
I mean, that would be a great show to pair with DTF, honestly, if it was on the same, streaming service or channel or whatever, but it's not. I'd pair it with DTF St. Louis, I guess.
I like this. I'm writing, I'm taking notes. I gotta look this. I gotta look show up. Either way, how's everyone doing tonight?
Doing good, man. How are you on the How are things down dance?
I mean, I'm awake now. I haven't felt as, it's just been a very long day at work. Like things are changing and chaos is ensuing. But you know, I'm surviving. And then I have to head down to Raleigh this Saturday. So besides that, everything's great. Sean,
Right.
how about you? How are things?
Good. I was telling Steve, I'm not quite in the like just start throwing random shit in boxes phase. I'm still throwing like bags and bags of trash out, not all trash, but like stuff I'm just done with. So that's been kind of fun. And I've been able to organize my boxes I have packed so far, but probably by the time we roll around a week from now, I'm going to be in full on chaotic, just throwing shit everywhere mode.
Excited?
Oh yeah, definitely excited. But I'm glad I started early this time, because otherwise it was just going to be completely unmanageable. Because I've been in this apartment now for over 9 years, and so I've accumulated a good bit of stuff that I've seemingly forgotten about or never seen altogether. And so it's like, oh shit, I should probably make some decisions.
Fair. Well, you're doing it. That's the most important part.
That is true, and it is happening whether I go
Fair.
crazy packing or not, so I better keep packing, I guess.
How is are you packing for Max or is Max doing his part?
He's pretty good. I gotta give him very direct kind of projects and stuff, but most of what
Okay.
I'm having him do, which is kind of a response to, I guess, like my own childhood trauma, which fortunately I never had to move as a kid.
Yeah.
But like the notion of him coming home from school one day and like I've gone through his entire room and like thrown a whole bunch of stuff out and donated a whole
Yeah.
bunch of stuff, and like he feels like he has no autonomy. Like I don't want to do that to him. So a lot of what I've been doing with him is just saying, hey, like I need you to go through all your books today. I need you to pull the ones that you want to keep and the ones you want to donate and the ones that you're unsure about. And then like same thing with his toys and like all that stuff. And he's done really well with that. You just gotta be very specific.
Yeah, fair enough.
But
Well,
he's good at
hey.
following direct orders when you give them to him, so
As long as he listens.
yeah.
Let's talk. Well, first of all, let's discuss Maul. I am still, I haven't watched episode 3. I'm going to watch it as soon as we're done here, unless I fall asleep again. Did you watch it yet, Sean?
So we actually watched it tonight before I read to him. So it's pretty fresh.
Okay, awesome. What are your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. It ends on a good, oh man, I got to watch the next one, which fortunately, the next one's already out. So,
oh, sick.
Hooray for me. Yeah, I think they're doing pairs. I think they're releasing it in pairs.
Okay. That doesn't, like, I don't know if that worries me because, like, it doesn't have faith in the show, or are they just trying to get it all out?
I really don't know. And Max actually asked me, he's like, so why don't they just, like, release it all at once?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, back in my day, and he just, like, stopped listening to me. But I was like, well, it's to keep the conversation going. I mean, if you release it all at once, like, there's a surge of people talking about it, but, like, a week or two after it's out, nobody's talking about it because everybody's watched it.
Exactly.
So it's good to go week to week for something like that, just because you end up pulling in more people who maybe wouldn't have watched it otherwise and all that stuff. I don't mind them dropping two at a time.
No, not at all.
I think it kind of, for me, it's like this nice little sweet spot between having to wait a full week between episodes, but if they're only half an hour anyways.
Yeah,
it's you're getting at least a full hour of programming like every week as opposed to just half hour, so that's fine. I think, and I'm not sure of this, and this is, I don't think, a spoiler because it's related to music, I feel like whoever's doing the music for Maul was teasing Battle of the Heroes a little bit in this in the third episode. Episode 3, I guess. That's kind of funny.
That's awesome.
But yeah, like I heard like a little hint of it, and I was like, is that what I think I'm hearing? But it was just enough to, like, if you know what you're listening for, I think it's there. Or maybe I'm just losing my mind. I don't know. One of the two.
Interesting. Okay. I'm intrigued. Steve, I hear you saw the new Scream movie.
I loved it. Yeah, I did.
Fantastic. What are your thoughts? Besides, I love it.
I mean, yeah, it was really is cinema masterpiece. Yes.
Absolute love cinema. It.
Absolutely. I'm really happy the way it turned out. Because I know they only had a couple months to rewrite everything after the two stars left. So, I don't know what the future holds. I'm guessing they're going to make another one and they're going to pay Neve Campbell what she deserves this time. So we'll see what happens. Because they've kind of like now set the precedent you can't do a Scream without Sydney. So.
I know going back to Sydney is a choice. I don't know how much more she wants to keep doing. So if she wants to keep doing them, I'm like, great.
Listen, it's kind of one of those franchises where like I've loved them my whole life. I'll keep watching as long as they keep making them. And like, there's been less good ones, but I've always enjoyed every single one. You know.
Oh yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. All right. Moving down the list of topics. The Pit. We are one episode away from the finale, and yeah. Sean, we were kind of texting about this a little earlier. You kind of predicted that Robbie is terminal, which is I think a really good. But do you change that that perspective after seeing that episode last week?
Maybe I don't know. I like clearly there's a very strong mental health angle going on with him.
Yes.
And I do like having Duke as that kind of not, like outer monologue, not like kind of talking about like, it's like, but he gives us more insight to Robbie's actual thoughts than just like what he would get from interacting with his colleagues in the ED.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate it. And shout out to that actor who's playing Duke. He's doing a great job.
Agreed. Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I mean, it feels like, no, I don't necessarily think that Robbie himself is terminally ill, other than to say that, to be, of poor mental health can be a terminal illness.
Yes.
But I just don't see that happening. I certainly don't see it happening this week in the season finale.
Yeah, fair.
But it does feel like something's about to like really boil over. I think the stuff with Al-Hashimi is really interesting.
Yeah. That's a hell of a cliffhanger to leave us on. Because we've kind of been teased all season about whatever it is, and I guess some sort of like actual, you know, seizure disorder or something.
Yeah, that she's had like her whole life.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like one of those things where it's like, that's just enough for Robbie to be like, no, I can't leave. And
yeah,
yada, yada, yada. But
well, it definitely makes sense why she wants two attendings down there.
Yeah, no, I think it makes a ton of sense. But at the same time, like, I also feel like she's kind of right just generally as to why you would want two attendings, given, you know, how busy they are.
Yeah.
And how chaotic things can get. I don't know. I'm a little more interested to see how the, because I like her a lot. You know, I think as a character, she really grew on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at first she felt kind of robotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as the season progressed, I think she's become more human in a way.
Agreed.
While still maintaining, like, I think you're a good doctor, but you're clearly not, like, I think she actually was on one of the Star Treks, but, like, not like some character out of Star Trek that's just, like, programmed to, you know, just take care of people.
Yep. And I think it was, if what's his face likes you, you're immediately 100% more likable on the show.
Abbott?
Abbott. So, well, I think that okay, was...
so that's one of the things that I'm really interested to see this week is clearly Abbott's going to have a conversation with him or try to.
Yeah.
And then they also teased Langdon confronting him, which I'm very interested in. I think I liked Langdon in season one. He's much easier to like in season two because he's clearly put in the work to make himself better and, you know,
and
make
amends
for everything.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No. Go for it.
How about that moment with Langdon and Robbie last, like, the episode where, like, he saved that dude's life? And, like, because, first of all, the line, doctor the fuck up, is one of the best things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But, like, that was an insane moment that Robbie kind of had to give him props for. Like, I honestly think there's a lot to be said about what the night doctor said of, like, dude, he's mad at himself. He's not mad at you.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. I think, like, in kind of in the same way I was saying last week, I think it was last week, that Langdon is like kind of viewed, or Robbie views Langdon as a bit of a surrogate son or surrogate brother. And so it's like he feels like I think that makes perfect sense that Robbie feels like he failed Langdon.
Hmm.
And now I think it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why he's having such a hard time. You know, maybe he's worried that if he steps away in terms of Langdon specifically, that maybe Langdon relapses or something bad happens with Langdon.
Yeah.
You know, but he's also like, his trust is still not quite back. And perhaps he's just like, I don't have enough time to, like, work up the ability to trust you again. So I don't trust you.
Yeah.
You know, there's something at play there.
And Alashimi doesn't like him now because he might have stolen drugs, even though that's, like, not her problem. It's only Robbie's problem. Like, I don't know why the fuck everyone else gives a shit.
Well, Santos' problem, too, if we're being real.
Oh, my God. Fuck Santos. She is, like...
one of Santos's many problems, let's be real. But
that's very fair. One of the coolest actresses, like based on every interview, but, like, I guess that means you're a really good actress when you're that hateable.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What do you think's gonna, like, any predictions from either of you of what's happening in the finale this week? Like, just to quantify, they've already said that we are not skipping much more time. We are going from July to November, so they can do.
Oh, they've actually
stuff.
Said November now.
Really?
Yeah,
I heard that it was a short time jump so that they could go to a different season of the year.
Yep. So they're doing November so they can do kind of like holiday stuff and like ice related, like, you know.
Yeah.
So or like cold related stuff with like old people, I'm sure. So it's going to be It's going to be something.
Slipping in ice is not unique to old people. Like, let's...
Oh, no, no, no. I was more talking about how, like, every year old people, like, you know, with the homes aren't heated or something bad happens.
Yeah.
They say they're going to bring attention to that issue.
I thought you were going to make, like, old people in December. It's kind of like watching Lemmings in that Disney documentary where Disney just pushed them all off the cliff and convinced everyone that Lemmings commit mass suicide. Yeah. Clearly, that's not the case.
Fair enough.
Oh, I was on a lot of cocaine then.
Really?
Oh yeah. It was pretty epic though.
I hear.
Me and Peter don't get along.
No.
No.
What sound do you think those lemmings made when they hit?
The first one just I think died on impact. Yeah. Oh boy.
How long does it take before they don't die on impact?
Well, the worst is the last few because they're just screaming in agony on top of the others. It's kind of haunting.
All right, we took a turn. Any other guy think topics you want to talk about at the top of the show?
None that I could think of.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a fairly quiet week, other than all the memes, speaking of the pit, since the president.
Oh, Jesus picture, yeah.
The Jesus picture where he's like, no, it wasn't Jesus, that was a doctor. And it's like, everyone's like now conflating, or is now like putting all the pit people in like Jesus robes.
Yes.
I've thoroughly enjoyed that. That's been pretty funny.
I really enjoyed that. I mean, like, we're not talking, I mean, I don't believe in, you know, religion at all, but like, if we're talking anyone who heals, like, ER doctors deserve that kind of thing. Like, they would never do it, but like, they're the only ones who, you know. But yes, that was very, very funny. I did love that. But yeah. Also, I wanted to talk about this because, like, I haven't heard anything about it. I've been looking for it. Is the new season of The Jury up?
Yes.
Jury Duty?
Jury Duty, sorry.
Yeah, so it's Jury. There's a subtitle to it. It's not a jury this time. It's a corporate retreat.
Amazing. Right. Okay, right. Cool.
But it's fun. I'm a little behind now, but when I started watching it, it was good times.
All right, awesome, good to hear. Okay, that makes me very relieved, because I was like, I forgot about it for a little while, because I found a new show on Prime that I actually wanted to bring tonight if no one else has any suggestions, because I know it's a low week, and this one's kind of relevant because it came out, the season two came out a couple days ago.
I mean, I got a couple suggestions too. One of which would be DTF St. Louis. The other of which would be Friends and Neighbors, which neither of you guys has apparently seen. And
I've seen DTF.
Yeah, I know you've seen DTF, but I don't think either one of you has watched Friends and Neighbors.
No, so. I have not watched Friends and Neighbors.
That also just started its second season. We're two episodes in now. I think they come out on Fridays.
Very good. Okay. Well, let's make a schedule. We'll definitely do. We can do all three, actually. Honestly.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Do you want to roll to see who goes it, or do you have any preference when we're going to do all three shows?
I'll Rochambeau you and I'll go first.
Oh, I want some of that action.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'll go last. I got a high pain tolerance.
Steve, what about you? Do you have any suggestions?
No, I'll let you guys roll for it this week. I'm down for whatever.
All right, very good. Let's see. Do I have a dice around? I used to, here. And D. Sean, odds or evens?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Odds, sure.
And it is a 6.
That's odd.
Oh, come on. One show of mine isn't going to kill you.
You're not Crystal.
You might actually like this one.
May she rest in peace.
It is another British show, a British comedy, and it has kind of more or less the same people that are always in all the British shows.
Yeah, because there's a limited pantheon of British entertainers that are allowed on television. I feel like that's they have like a quota.
Yeah.
They meet the quota and they cannot surpass it. It doesn't matter what your genre is. It's like, nah, that's it. We can't let any more British people on TV, which is why they're all in every fucking thing.
Fair. Well, they are incredibly talented. I think you're going to like, I hope you guys like this. Have you guys heard of the show Last One Laughing?
No.
So it is an Amazon Prime, I guess, I don't know if it's exclusive or not, but I guess in the US it's exclusive. It is a show where basically, and Jimmy Carr, of course, is hosting because he hosts every British show. It is 10 comedians locked in a room for 6 hours. Every season is 6 episodes, basically an hour each. And they basically have to stay the longest without laughing. So the person that wins is the last one to laugh. So they are going to go ahead. Sorry, Sean.
What happens if like everybody laughs in the first hour?
They don't. Thank God. I don't think they would air the season.
But, so they got like a bachelorette situation then.
It's also they give everyone a yellow card first. So you get one smile or one laugh. And after the second one, you're out.
Mm.
But the whole idea is it's a bunch of British comedians trying to make each other laugh. And if you laugh, you're out. And then Jimmy Carr influences and makes people do stuff throughout the show. I quite enjoy it. It was very fun to watch. It's easy to watch. They're half hour episodes. They're, you know, like it's only 6. And it's really interesting to see how it goes. Before I pull it up, any thoughts?
They're the masters of only using the same 6 people and the 6-episode series format. So I will defer to their expertise in that way.
Fair. What about you, Steve?
Yeah, I will defer. I think it sounds interesting.
Okay, cool. I'm not going to do the Canadian one. That was not... But apparently there's a Canada one.
I don't need to listen to people apologizing for 6 hours.
All right. Well, I guess you guys defer, so we'll just... Anyone have any small talk to make while I pull up the soundboard? Because I wasn't prepared at all tonight.
I didn't come back with any...
Anybody got some banjos?
All right. Season 1, episode 1. These are not named. Are they named? Yeah, Breaking the Ice. Season 1, episode 1 of Last One Laughing. And it didn't work. There we go.
I feel like you're just like the Joker in the Dark Knight trying to blow up the hospital, and you're like, why isn't this working? It's just click, 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 click. And it's like, and then all of a sudden it just blows, and you're like, oh shit.
That's kind of how it works, yes. All right. Can you guys see and hear?
Yeah.
Awesome. Steve, let's start with you. First impressions.
Yeah, I really do like slapstick humor shows. And it gives me the Office type of vibes with it. So I'd totally give it a run.
I mean, it's like purposely like awkward as shit. I guess like that's the kind of point.
Yeah. Awkward comedy always works really well.
I really don't think it would work with
awkward
like
comedy done well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I really don't think any of that would work, like, if you weren't, like trained comedians. Like, the timing is impeccable. Absolutely. And it's just, like, it's hard to watch. Like, I am glad I can laugh during it, because holy shit. Sean, let's get to you. What are your thoughts?
I didn't laugh once.
Oh, no.
But. You just laughed. But.
I always laugh.
I did find it amusing.
Okay.
I also feel like I like the wrinkle of like Jimmy sends them in with like things or like calls stuff in or whatever to keep it moving. I thought that was good because I wasn't expecting that necessarily.
Fair enough.
I was also trying to think of like if I were in that room.
What do you do?
What would I be doing? And would I be more along the lines of like trying to kind of just tread water as long as I possibly could? Or would I like try and go for the throat on somebody just by doing weird shit?
I mean,
because I feel like it was like the more out of left field stuff that kind of got people to break.
I think so, because like if it's the unexpected, right? If you're in a room full of comedians, you kind of expect them to try to like make you laugh. But if you do something really ridiculous, like, yeah, it's just like Bob Mortimer at the end with that magic show was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, that was that was really weird. But no, I mean, it like worked. So like, good on him. Like, I was just like, okay, that's cool. I thought it was pretty fun.
Okay, fair enough.
I think too that they can fill enough dead air to not really have very much like music or anything going on in the background, even like very much commentary from like Jimmy and whoever ends up sitting with him.
Yeah.
I think that kind of shows you that it's engaging, because like if there's nothing else there to pull you in other than what's actually you're actually seeing.
Yeah.
There's got to be something to it, because honestly, it's very hard to hold my attention.
Yeah, fair enough. But again, I think that's why like comedians would work with this. I don't think like you couldn't do this with like a normal, you know, reality show where you just get 10 people in a room, right? Because then it would just be awkward the entire. I don't know. I think it's just special with like these type of people who can kind of manipulate a room like that.
Yeah.
But who do you think is going to go the farthest? Who do you think is going to win it all? Both of you.
I think Richard was doing really well. I mean, I feel like his personality, I think, is just kind of conducive, like very dry, very level.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the kind of personality that has a huge advantage in this type of a competition.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
I'd say Richard.
Yeah, fair enough. It's very interesting that, is he actually, I don't think he's ever done stand-up. I think he's just, like, a comedic actor. I mean, he's done, like, so much at this point that, you know, but, like, it's interesting that he gets included in all of these things when he's not necessarily a comedian.
Well, what's his background? Like, did he do, like, improv, or?
Let's take a look. He did write an incredible book recently. It was basically, he wrote a made-up autobiography of a 1930s playwright from, like, England. And, like, it's just insanity. But it's so, like, it's so that dry, like, very level humor. It's fucking brilliant. Mm. Highly recommend. Let's see what his background is. Okay, he got his start with co-writing Garth Marenghi's Dark Place and The Mighty Boosh. So he was immediately like a writer and kind of like get involved in comedy that way. But it doesn't seem like he did any sort of stand-up.
Hmm.
And then got big with IT Crowd and then started doing more, you know, like directing, cinema and writing and television shit. And then, you know, it grew from there. Interesting. And now he's just a writer-director.
I feel like, and you would know this, is there a British game show or whatever you'd call this? I don't know that I'd quite call it a game show.
Yeah, like this is kind of like the British panel show, but without the panel, almost.
Yeah, yeah. Is there one where the whole principle of the game is just to torture Jimmy?
You can argue that 8 out of 10 Cats is like that.
Mm.
But I don't think there's one. But I think that's a brilliant idea. Jimmy kind of always escapes this shit because, you know, he hosts, but. That is really interesting. I do like the idea of him torturing everybody.
But, like, I don't know, like, write stuff for Jimmy, and Jimmy's forced to not break.
That is... That's
and if really Jimmy nice. Breaks, Jimmy gets punished.
If he's listening, you know, Channel 4 is going to... Channel 4 is going to take that idea from you. I love it.
See, there's a variation on that. The American version with Jimmy Fallon... except it takes place in international waters off the coast of Japan, where if Jimmy Fallon breaks, Jimmy Fallon dies.
That I would I would pay for that show. That sounds brilliant.
I apologize. I got to run, but I get a pass. I'm giving a passing vote.
All right. Very good. Go enjoy your night, buddy. I will see you soon.
See y'all soon.
See you, Steve.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well,
he's just covering for the fact that he's a Power Ranger show off.
Got, you know, it's hard juggling kids, you know, job and being a Power Ranger. It's he is a superhero.
Yeah, I know.
So what do you?
I'm a cartoon mouse. I don't know. It's hard.
Just being a cartoon mouse is hard, or is just
with all you're discriminating, huh?
I didn't. I was just asking.
It's hard being Mickey.
It is hard being Mickey. I mean, you have more money than some nations. I don't know if that's what I'd consider hard. What's so hard about it, Mickey?
A crippling substance addiction and always running from the law.
You have enough money where the law doesn't matter.
Currently.
You could buy all of the drugs and I'm sure you'd still be fine, Mickey.
Well, the problem is I keep trying to dig, and dig for lots more of the old drugs. And I can't find them.
You gotta find something else besides Quaaludes, man. Or, like, why don't you just make your own? Like, you have the money to just start a manufacturing business of yourself. Like,
I just miss the 80s, man. It was a good time for Mickey. There's no heat on me.
What's the biggest heat on you right now?
Oh, you don't want to know about that.
Well, there's a lot in the media about Disney and how, you know, it's ruining franchises left and right and how, you know, just a big corporate entity. The theme parks aren't doing well. It's all downhill for Disney. But I'd like to, you know, if you can give me something else, like that would be, because that's what I've heard in the news.
What's that guy? It's not Mr. Hitler. I think he was Jewish. Something, Steen? Let's just say Mickey's on the flight logs.
Ah.
I was just in it for the beautiful tropical sunsets.
Uh-huh. That's what a lot of people said.
Like Al Gore. Al Gore was down there, too. I saw him.
Yeah? What were
you two
doing?
He's walking on the beach with his wife. They looked happy.
So you just wanted that? That's what all you wanted when you went?
Yeah. It's not my problem. The children like Mickey.
I think the reciprocation is
it's like lost to a flame, man. I didn't do nothing. I tried to hang out with Al Gore, and they all made fun of me.
Oh. I'm so sorry. Well, I think you and Al Gore would have had a good time. Why don't you try to connect with him now? Go on a vacation together or something.
Is he still alive?
I think so. Oh. I haven't heard about him in a while, but I'm sure I think he's still alive.
He disappeared better than Kathleen Kennedy after I took a couple toes off her.
I really wonder what she's doing now. She'll probably be fine. She'll probably find another consulting job somewhere and...
Assaulting job? I told that island's closed, man.
Where would Kathleen? I guess it wouldn't matter.
I don't know.
She started off as Spielberg's assistant. That's just anyway. Anything else to talk about for last one laughing? You said everything you needed to say.
It's on Amazon.
It is on Amazon Prime Video. Make sure you look for the UK one because the Canada one keeps coming up first.
But, I mean, I'm kind of like have like a sadistic interest in watching the Canadian one. I don't know why. Listen, I feel like to confirm my opinions about how Canadians. I feel about Canadian
comedy,
self-deprecating humor.
Yeah, the show. I wonder why they haven't done an American version.
Because
you don't think it would work?
Do you know what? I think this is part of my problem with a lot of these like British shows like this. I'm not saying this one because I did enjoy this one. Fair. But I think a lot of British shows like this, they feel like midsummer filler event shows that go for like a week or two.
Yeah.
And like this kind of thing would not really ever fly on like network television during like the regular part of the year. So I guess like September to May or whatever, like new television
sure
traditionally airs.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the thing. And mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, you get people watching it, but I mean, unless it was airing on like Comedy Central at like weird hours, I feel like it could get like a cult following, but I just don't feel like it would have the mass appeal.
That's fair. I think that is, you know, there's a lot of downsides to everything going streaming, but
yeah,
I think one of the upsides is that you can make more niche television, right? Like you don't have to worry so much about advertisers, right? You only have to sell your show to Netflix. And if Netflix or, you know, Prime or whoever thinks they can make money off of it, they'll make it.
Yeah.
And I think that does allow for a more, you know, we don't have to just watch the same sitcom over and over again, right? And Always Sunny, which somehow still is on the air, which blows my mind. But you can
so's Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy is still on the air?
I saw a thing on TikTok, I think it was TikTok, the past day or two, and it was like people who are on The Pit, whether it's a regular or guest star or whatever, who have been on other medical TV shows.
Yeah.
And it was like all the ones for, like, obviously, and they would do, like, the run years for each show. And so you get, like, ER ended in, like, what, like, 2009, 2008, 2007, yes. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, yeah, somewhere there.
And, you know, like, the House, you know, ended in 2012, I think. Like, there were a few other, like, original run of Scrubs, that kind of thing. But then it's just, like, Grey's Anatomy, and it says, like, 2005, 2, and then nothing. And I'm just like, wait, really?
They got renewed for a 23rd season. Who is watching?
That's crazy.
Who's watching Grey's Anatomy?
People watch it. That's the thing. Like, I don't know who these people are, where they are, but there are people who watch that show.
Wow. Man. I can't. That's incredible. How many seasons did ER get?
ER had a lot.
Yeah, it did. Let's see. It only had 15.
Only.
Oh, yeah, only. Well, I'm just, like, saying, how is, like, ER... Well, I mean, I guess Grey's Anatomy is that level of, like, you know, generation-defining television, I guess. I never even thought it would be in the same boat, but...
Yeah.
Apparently, people love it.
Very. I would say there's probably overlap between the audiences, but, like, a very different presentation of similar content, I guess.
I would agree. I think they're like the ER crowd is more Pit now.
Oh, I really hope so.
I mean, obviously it's doing quite well that HBO is already renewing it and it's winning all the Emmys.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it blows my mind that Grey's Anatomy is still on the air.
I know. I'm just like, because it to me, it felt like watching that. I watched like a season of that show back, like maybe like season 2, season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it was like early in college when I'm like, sure, I'll go along with what you want to watch because you watch Smallville with me. So that's a trade.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, okay, like I can kind of get pulled into it if I really think about it, but it's not like well done. Then it also felt like they just kept killing people off.
Really? I've never seen medical shows
where it's like, you know, like they transfer, like they're a resident and they get like, no, like killing people off. I don't know. I don't know.
There's so many outs at a hospital. Like you get a better job and just leave. Like, why do they have to kill people? Is it just more intriguing?
Like, maybe it's the writers were just like, we don't know how people actually leave hospitals. So kill them.
That's how I leave a hospital.
Oh, yeah? You just kill... Who do you kill when you leave a hospital?
I don't know. Old people. Anybody who looks like Mr. Disney usually gets a pretty rough ride from me.
You might have to go see a therapist, Mickey. You might have some, like, deep-seated issues with, like...
I don't need to see a shrink.
No?
No. I don't have antisocial personality disorder.
It seems like Mr. Disney left a lasting impression that might not be entirely positive on you.
Look, man. Was your dad a priest?
No, far from it.
Oh, it's a good thing, because I hear really bad things about them.
He wasn't much better.
Oh, so looks like you need to see a therapist.
I do see a therapist. Oh. Thank you, Mickey. Oh, I appreciate.
Sorry, when I came about, that wasn't normalized.
No, I understand. It was, you came from a different generation. You just wanted to drive your tugboat.
So to speak.
Oh my god.
I gave out lots of Steamboat Willies.
Steve leaves, and this just turns into an interview with Mickey. What do you got to eat? Mickey, you have an open platform now. What would you, if you could say one thing to the masses right now, what would it be?
An open platform? Is that like when you have the chair with the hole in it and you poop on somebody?
Similar, yeah. Just let it out. What do you got to say?
I'm not allowed in places because of that.
Really?
Yeah. I do that at the Sony office. They weren't very happy about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
I don't know why Mr. Hitler wasn't a big fan of those people. Because, you know, I don't know. I mean, I thought they were friends. But they weren't very Aryan.
It's a complicated tapestry, isn't it, Mickey?
You're a Nazi.
I don't think I am. I tend to oppose fascism. Rather strenuously. I don't know.
No, you oppose fashion? You don't wear clothes?
I mean, I wear clothes, but I fascism, not fashion.
Is that the thing on the side of your roof?
Sure.
A Rupert, huh? Oh, boy. I bet you see some gnarly stuff up there.
I bet you would, yeah. What's on your roof, Mickey?
I don't know. I'd pay somebody else to go up there.
Why don't you go up there?
I'm a billionaire.
Well, yes, I know. But why don't you go up there and see? Like, if you're that interested, you can do whatever you want.
I've done too much blow. I get vertigo.
What's too much blow? Are we talking?
That's
like,
a great point. I'm going to go try and discover that.
Are we talking?
Don't try this at home. I'm immortal.
Yeah.
Says everybody who's done that ever.
Yep. Oh, that's a lesson for you all, kids. Don't be like Mickey. Oh man. Well, that is all I got. Anything else you want to talk, you feel like you want to talk about, Sean, before we wrap this one up?
No, I don't think I really have anything. Excited to see what happens with the pit. Have you finished shrinking? Because the season 3 just ended.
Oh crap, no, I'm like an episode behind then.
Yeah, the finale, episode 11 is the finale.
Okay, all right, good. Then I will go watch two things as soon as we're done here. What are your thoughts?
It was wonderful. It made me cry.
I mean, that's most, Bill Lawrence shows.
And it just kind of reaffirmed the fact that I think in my brain, one of the people I've identified as my surrogate fake father who I've never met in my life is Harrison Ford.
Yep. Did you see there was an interview they were talking with, oh my God, what's the guy's name on that show besides Harrison Ford?
Jason Segel.
Jason Segel. He was talking about how they were trying to get Harrison Ford for this show. And they were like, all right, well, you know, I want to see something this kid is in, so I'll be on the show. And, mm-hmm. and he was the kid in that situation. So they send him Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And so, like, he hears back a week later from the producers. Well, Harrison Ford had a couple comments. He was like, well, this kid can act. And also, you should tell him he has a great penis. Great dick. Great dick, yeah. Whatever it was. That's fantastic.
Yeah, oh, I love that Harrison story. Ford.
Do you think there'll be another season? Because like
there is another season because, and I've seen a few interviews with the cast and Bill Lawrence about it. But basically, they planned it, the story to end at the end of season three. It kind of feels that way.
Well, that's like kind of where it was going towards, right? Like, it felt like it was wrapping up.
I mean, if it was a series finale, it would have been an excellent series finale and good three-season run, planned out three-season run. But I think Jason Segel said, they had, like, a big panel interview. They've done a bunch, but I saw one recently where he said that, like, they were just having too much fun.
Yeah.
And they felt like there are things that they could do with the story now that they've kind of gotten past certain humps. That they could probably run it out for one more season because they just all like working together. Like they have really good chemistry, the cast and crew, and
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of what happened with Ted Lasso too, right? Like, you know, it's although that like, I am intrigued that like, how do you continue a story that wrapped up so well? And maybe Ted Lasso is like the exception, but I'm interested. I have to watch the finale.
I mean, they're going to have to execute, but I'm sure it'll be good given that it seems like everybody's on board and back, including Harrison Ford. But like, I don't know. I don't know where they go with it, but that's fun. I mean, I'm down for another season of, you know, pretty easy watching dramedy.
I mean, listen, it worked. The Scrubs reboot is actually really good. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I gotta catch up. I know that Cox came back, but beyond that, I haven't really. I've tried to stay away from it because I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Yeah. I will say Cox is back. He said, or John C. McGinley said he plays a major role in season two. Also revealing that there will be a season two.
But
I won't want to say anymore. He's more Dr. Cox, which I love. So yeah, like exciting stuff to look forward to. I was worried that now that the pit is ending this week, like, Maul is gonna like rush. I'm hoping Maul is like a little like longer, so I have something, you know, a watch to look forward to every week. Do we know how many episodes it got? Is it 10?
It's either 8 or 10.
Okay, all right. So we can hope.
So we'll be done with that fairly fast because they're burning 2 a week. But I don't know. There's some other good stuff. Definitely check out Friends and Neighbors because the first season is fully out. It's 9 episodes, and then 2 episodes of the second season have come out. It's very John Hamm.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's all you have to say. I love John Hamm.
Yeah, it actually, right after we finished binging, I guess season one and then the first episode of season two at the time was all that was out. I finally was able to convince Not Super New Girl to start watching Mad Men with me. It's going to still be a little bit of a slog. But we got like 3 or 4 episodes into that.
Amazing.
Because she was like, I really like John Hamm. And she's like, I'm trying to think of what else he's in. And I'm just like, come on.
Get there.
It's John Hamm. She's like, well, I haven't watched Mad Men. I'm like, okay.
That's a better reason to watch it.
She's like, well, I tried it. I was like, okay, yeah, but you gotta like feel out the characters. Like, get past season one. And if you're like past season one, then we can quit it.
Yeah.
And her trade-off for that was, I'm trying to remember what she brought back to me. She's like, I'll watch this. Oh, Sons of Anarchy.
Okay, yeah, that's a worthwhile trade, I guess.
It was interesting. I'd never tried it. And I was like, all right, well, in the same way that she's giving it a shot.
Yeah. But
there's a reason that she brought up Sons of Anarchy, too, because I think there was somebody else on Friends and Neighbors who was on Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I've tried to get into that show multiple times. I just never, like, stuck with it. It always lost my interest. I don't think it was bad. It's just like, I guess something else took it, you know, took priority, and I just kind of never followed up.
I really like Ron Perlman, so like I'm just kind of hoping, you know, that can carry me through a little bit. But
fair,
yeah. But I'm just happy to finally be rewatching Mad Men for like the 4th or 5th time. I don't know how many times I've rewatched the series.
It's one of the best. Definitely worthy. Oh man. All right. Well, Sean, thank you for sticking with me through even when falling asleep and coming late. I hope you and everyone else has a wonderful week. We'll see you back here next week for more Norm Bitchworthy. And it didn't play. There we go. All right.